Good morning. Well, that's not a good way to start.
Nice.
Yeah, let's try that again. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel this morning. And it's like a seized engine there for a second. I don't know what happened. So good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel discussion this morning. We have a lot to talk about. We just have a ton to talk about.
And, really only one thing.
Well, I mean, but there's so many facets to it. It really is unbelievable. So we'll get right to it. Dr. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you here. Rosemary Armeo, Director of the Journalism Department at the program. Thank you very much. At UAlbany, thank you very much for being here. And political consultant to the stars.
Oh, yeah.
Libby Post is with us this morning. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. All right. So let's go back to Friday afternoon when David Fahrenthold, the reporter who has already, I think, has earned a Pulitzer by many in the journalistic profession for his reporting to date, topped himself by putting out a story that included a audio and videotape, although there was certainly more audio to it than there was video, of, are you doing a Trump thing? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, my nose is running.
What is with
know,
that?
It's the,
I don't know. I don't know.
Ooh. It's Coke.
Oh,
no,
stop
it.
No,
it is not.
Case, we're talking about the Trump case.
Yeah, not my case.
No, your case, you know, Howard Dean says it's, snow.
That's
what we're talking about. Snow is cocaine. Did
in
you
my
know
case,
that?
It's just
what
is
your generation refer
what
to
What do you
that?
Think I said okay. it for?
Well, all right.
That happens to be politically inappropriate and ageist.
What, coke?
What
or?
You just said to your generation.
I'm sorry. After our current candidate, nothing is politically incorrect.
Okay, so David Fahrenthold puts this story out. He puts it on the Washington Post site within minutes, it's all over the place, and we get to hear this tape, which I know you have all heard. I can't imagine there's a human being alive
really?
That would be listening to this program at least who hasn't heard the tape, because Wolf Blitzer was playing it with such glee at about every 8 seconds on all night Friday.
And if I may just interject, he also kept referring to the stuff that he couldn't play on the air, being on CNN.com.
Well, and Rosemary and I had a rather vivid discussion, robust discussion about this on Facebook on Saturday. But it was so weird what the networks decided they could air and what they couldn't air and what they could run. But anyway, it was vile. It was vile. And he was talking about what he would how his relationship to one of the co-hosts of the program Access Hollywood, a woman by the name of Nancy O'Dell.
Right,
and
who is now the host,
of Entertainment Tonight.
Tonight.
And that he took her furniture shopping. I'll show you furniture. And went on to this thing about how he was going to get her. And then the grabbing by the genitals and so forth. Okay, so that comes out. And then it's just free fall from there until about midnight when Donald Trump releases a statement, which is rather defiant. The first statement that he released via his campaign was that this was locker room behavior. He apologized to if anyone was offended.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Right.
Then
if anyone was offended. Right. It's
okay.
Your fault that you took
so
it the wrong way.
So then the Republican defection started to begin, and by midnight he posted a video that was 90 seconds long and said, I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean what I said, and it was taken out of context, blah, blah, blah. Then pivoted immediately to Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. So that was kind of the, this is probably what is going to happen now with the debate. All day Saturday, Paul Ryan was scheduled to have an event with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was disinvited. Mike Pence was the replacement. Mike Pence was disinvited or pulled out.
I think he pulled out.
Either way, he released a statement saying that the candidate Trump's words were deplorable. His wife responded, Melania responded that the words were deplorable. Okay, so then this goes on, and then a third, am I right on this? A third of the Republicans in the House and Senate who were supporting him left,
pulled out.
Right. Okay, so then we're all waiting for the debate, many believing that there would be no debate, but there was. And then an hour before the debate, about an hour and 40 minutes before the debate, Donald Trump held a what he called a debate prep photo op, in which four women, three who accused Bill Clinton of sexual impropriety at some point, and another woman who had once been defended by Hillary Clinton.
No.
Had defended her attacker. And those were the four women who then were ushered in, brought to the family box, were told by security that they could not sit there, that that was only for the family. There was a little bit of a tussle there. They were then moved back and put into the front row. And then there's the debate itself, which was especially brutal in the first half hour, in which, in his defense of the tapes, Donald Trump basically started talking about how he was going to fight ISIS, and it went on from there. Okay, that's my summation.
Your synopsis, yes.
Okay, go.
He's going to grab ISIS by the genitals, that meow. It was, oh my God, it was an ugly and very mean debate. And E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post said, it really makes you hard to be proud of as an American. He's lost, and he still has the love and devotion of 35% to 40% of the people who will vote for him. But that is far from the majority you need to win. I think we should start calling her Madam President today. I was telling you that I got a speeding ticket coming in today. I'm so eager to get this all out. And I feel kind of like drained the way you are when you overindulge in food or alcohol for a weekend. I was overindulging in news coverage. It was just an amazing, unprecedented, even the Watergate hearings, I don't remember being this incredibly wrapped in disbelief that this was happening in our government.
And just let me just take one short exception, then we go to Libby, of course. And that is, you say we should start calling her Madam President. I think that's a big error on your part. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I agree with you that it looks that he can't get enough white guys to vote for him. So that it doesn't add up to the majority, the coalition. And if you heard their rhetoric, and when Hillary was celebrating diversity and bringing people together and all the rest of that, that's what it, that was. This is the group that's going to vote for me. We know the group that's going to vote for you. But what's interesting to me is that 40% has not changed,
right.
Period.
Oh, they love him.
Yeah,
right.
And it has not changed. Well, it's another kind of civil war. That's what it really is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
This is the culture wars brought to the fore. This is the culture wars that we saw in the 80s and 90s around issues around choice and gay rights brought to the fore.
And race.
And because now it's all about race.
Yeah.
You know, he is the antidote. They see him as the antidote to Barack Obama, a strong white man who'll put his enemies in jail, like he said last night, I'm going to put you in jail, which was just an amazing comment to make.
Single most terrifying part.
Right.
He was skulking around through the whole
thing. He was a predator last night. There was no two ways about it. The way he walked around the stage, walking in back of her,
glowered
looming,
at her.
You know, he was definitely the predator. He was definitely reinforcing his words from the bus. There's no two ways about it. He can say, nobody respects women more than I do all day long. And the fact of the matter is, he hates women. He's a misogynist.
Well, okay. I just wanted to finish up my answer to, and you're right, but I wanted to finish up my answer to Rosemary. It scares the heck out of me to think that there will be people who think it's all over. And who therefore will not go and vote.
You're worried about turnout.
You're right.
You are right.
Yes. I am.
I think yes.
We can take nothing for granted.
No, I agree, and I also think that when you look at our minds, I think, are only capable of realizing, you know, the worst. but I don't think we can even in our minds come up with what Donald Trump and his campaign would think of as even
when we look at the Christies and the Rudy
Giuliani's. Rudy Giuliani from last night was unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow. So we still have a debate. One more debate here, and we do have 28 days.
Yeah,
I'm raising my hand because I've been fooling with this all night long, and I have for the last couple of days. It looked like they had Trump on the ropes, and that they might force him out, and that the last thing Hillary Clinton wanted was that guy out of there.
I agree with you.
Saturday Night Live.
I agree with you.
Had that absolutely.
They don't want.
But you know, even if they could get him or force him to leave, and Pence or Carson or Ryan, whoever they're talking about, comes in, it's impossible right now. There's already voting. The ballots are done. They would be at such a disadvantage. And then let us mention that each of these has problems too.
Right.
Because Pence acts nice.
Right.
But this is the man who thinks that, you know, you allow abortion in the case of rape and women will
want to
be
raped. But he got good marks on his debate.
But that's not so what? His politics are worse.
Because it's almost gotten to be, I hate them both, I don't want to vote for either of them.
I hate that.
Well, you may hate it, but it's out there.
True.
And
right.
It's part of the deal.
Right.
So I'm thinking that if she had to not be too good to him. I mean, everybody expected that she was going to say knock him out of the box, but she didn't.
I think she needs to keep her expectations low in order to keep her people energized.
Well, yes, and now the question becomes the third debate, and there I really do expect her to do her job. If there is one,
do you think there will be one?
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't think he
can pass up that opportunity in front of an audience.
He won't drop out. He won't not go to the debate because it would be an affront to his masculinity.
Yeah,
it really is.
Okay, well I have to say one thing, maybe in honor of Rich, I cannot imagine the.
Rich Homan, who's a regular,
and always likes to see the other side, that Trump went out there under those circumstances, vilified, humiliated, just under everyone saying, get out, you can't win. And he got up there and he fought very feistily, awfully, I thought, but very feisty last night. If it weren't Donald Trump, I'd be talking about his courage.
But she
that.
Let him get away with some of it. And that bothered me a great deal.
Who is she? Hillary, you mean?
Yeah, Hillary let him get away with it.
I thought you meant Melania.
No, I did not.
So, to your point, 57% of those polled said they believe that Hillary Clinton won the debate. Mm-hmm. 34% said that Donald Trump won. 63% overall thought that the Republican nominee surpassed their expectations for him.
And what poll was that?
That was a CNN ORC poll, which is actually a scientific poll.
It's the one that's done immediately afterwards. Yes. Yeah. So it's
Wolf kept saying, it's coming,
it's coming. It finally came, and those were the results.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that too. It took a good hour. I was a little bitter about that.
Well, they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was in.
Well, I had another issue, of course, is the way that the role that the Bill Clinton affair played in all of this. Now, this bothered me so much, I can't tell you that Trump had the unmitigated nerve, known to some of us as chutzpah, to say, I'm going to hold her responsible for what he did.
Yeah, you can't hold me responsible for what I said 10 years ago, but let's hold him responsible for what he did 20, 25 years ago, none of which was there ever any charges.
Bill
Clinton deserves to be held.
But he's not running for president.
But he's
the
not
United
running
States.
For president. And what? To make her responsible for his actions.
Are you defending
is the epitome
him bringing
of
them?
What,
I think
of,
it's.
Of
I think
misogyny.
It's. It was used as a diversion. There's no question, but I think it's absolutely legitimate. They're not using his behavior. They're using her role in what happened to the women.
So my
and
question.
And our views on how we treat victims of sexual harassment and worse have changed since the 90s. And so I do think it's legitimate. I think she has an answer for it. We didn't hear any of it last week.
But he was clear about Bill Clinton treated women the worst of any president, yeah. which I think probably isn't true.
He said it in both
think
statements.
Think about Thomas Jefferson. But, you know, I mean...
We can go much closer. Right. We can come much closer than that.
Much worse. Right. Yeah.
But does anybody here think there may have been... I hate to do this because I'm going to get beaten up. But an implicit deal that everybody was going to go soft on the sex stuff in the beginning because he got away with it. He basically said, you know, it's locker room talk. We all know
I don't think he got away with it.
Let me just finish this. So locker room talk. There's Bill Clinton looking like the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz.
He's still good looking.
No, I agree with that one. He looked like he had been.
Well, I loved when he had to shake Ivanka's hand.
Yeah.
The candidates didn't shake hands, but the family shook hands. And there's Bill
God
Clinton
knows what's
shaking.
Going on there. But all I'm going to say is, it got out of the way. You know, right away. That was it. There was no more Clinton, Bill Clinton, after the initial foray, and there was no more of the Trump stuff. I was very upset by that.
Except that his apology, both the video apology, the first one, the second one, what he said last night, rings so hollow that in the polling and the follow-up interviews with women, they're like, I was undecided. He didn't say anything to me that makes me feel like he really understood what it is that he did and what he said. I'm voting for her. You know, so I think that women are really looking at this and saying, this man would do this to my daughter. Mm-hmm. This man...
He would do it to his own daughter.
Right. This man is not a responsible human being to be in the White House. He hates women. He sees them only as their genitals, and that's it. And I think a lot of women who were undecided before are going
to
move over.
But to Alan's, Alan's point, and I think it's great. I mean, I thought about this a lot because if she went there, then God knows where he was going to go in bringing Bill Clinton more into the story. And I don't know, does she win on that? And then this goes back to what Alan said earlier, which I also agree with. Was this a way of just saying, let's keep this guy in the race?
So there's two things there. One, I think that there may have been an implicit deal on the sex tapes. we're not going to carry on about this.
Between whom?
Between the two candidates,
he's saying, which I think is crazy.
It was implicit. It was implicit. So it was gone.
I don't think she needed to make a big deal about it because the media did it for her.
She was silent all
the
way along.
By the time you were done with the debate, you got the idea that he was sort of, I'm sorry, I have to be as objective as I can here, that he, because, you know, I was ready to punch the television. is that he was off the hook on this issue?
I don't think so. No. Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
And it has other ramifications too. It's kind of lost now on the weekend because the debate took over. But why did it take this tape? Why was it not enough?
Let's talk
about John McCain. John McCain was personally insulted by this idiot. Then he does the attack on the Gold Star family, which is
about
an attack on the military.
Right.
And John McCain waits until this tape to say, okay, I've had enough. I'm not endorsing.
Well, because he thought it was over. Right. And it wasn't over.
Right, and it's not going to be over.
And does Paul Ryan think
day.
It's over?
Yeah, no.
Well, poor Paul Ryan. He wants to be president.
All right. So let's hold it there. We'll talk. I want to talk about Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and a lot of other stuff. We'll be back on the other side of the news. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to The Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. As noted, we have a lot to discuss. A lot went on over the weekend and a lot to, just go through and figure out and try to make sense of, which is probably a fool's errand, but we're going to try anyway. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. I realized when I was watching the debate last night that I was just physically upset,
mm-hmm.
right? Did you feel that way? Like it was upsetting?
I was drinking wine, so.
Oh, okay. So you had a little lubrication.
Physically fine.
Yeah, I was with a bunch of people. But I'll tell you this morning, there was this wonderful video about Obama on Facebook this morning. And I saw, I was crying my eyes out.
A man who loves women and respects them and is a fabulous father and husband.
There's been this pent up, you know, stress around this campaign since January of 2015. And everybody, you know, just wants to be able to exhale. And we all have to keep our, hold our breath for another month. Yeah. And it's just this pent up stuff. You know, I get these Facebook messages. A friend of mine called me yesterday, said, please tell me he's not going to drop out. Please tell me he's not going to drop out. You know, people are really scared.
Can I go back to McCain for a minute?
Yes, Arizona Senator John McCain, who pulled his support for Donald Trump over the weekend.
Well, all I want to say about that is he said from day one that Trump's candidacy could cost him his seat. And I think he can. It can. Because he's between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. All those primary voters who voted for Trump over everybody else will never forgive him. And he did it, I'm sure, thinking, well, because it was the right thing to do, number one. I really think the man has some integrity. But the other reason he did it is he thought it was okay, because Trump was basically defeated. Now it turns out, there's an old story about Stalin, Khrushchev told, about how they went into the room and they thought he was dead, and everybody was overjoyed because they heard he was going to do another purge. And all of a sudden, his toe started to twitch, and everybody was extraordinarily upset. I think what happened here is now McCain is in real danger of losing his office.
You can't also forget there's a big Hispanic vote in that state.
Absolutely.
You know, so between the Trump people who will abandon him and the Hispanics who would not vote for him to begin with, he is in trouble.
Well, so I go to the Italian Benevolent Society on Saturday night for the Columbus Day dinner and talked politics because that's all I talk about anymore. I had my machine on the whole time listening to developments. No. I was just listening this year, eating with my mother and my great aunt. And they're the base. They're Trump's base. And it was like, I don't like either one of them. I'm not going to vote for her, though. She's a liar. The strength of that argument, it just continues to floor me.
Well, I was away last week, and I was staying at a hotel, and it was a hotel where, you know, the airline personnel stay. Mm-hmm. So I was in the lounge eating breakfast, and there was two guys, two pilots, and this one was saying, I just can't vote for him. I was thinking about it, but I just can't deal with what he stands for anymore. And so I thought to myself, there's hope.
Well, it's also a bandwagon. If there's
especially if he was your pilot.
Yeah, well, there is that.
If there's a sense that that he's going to lose and lose badly, if there's that sense.
There is that sense.
Yeah, then a lot of people will say, I don't want to be on the losing side.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
They want to, it's the bandwagon effect.
Yeah. Well, and let's face it, the Times had a great article on Saturday about how these types of, now, I'll preface this by saying that Trump seems to be immune to every single solitary conventional political wisdom that there is out there. But in political scandal, that once the snowball gets going, and we've seen this time and time again. So as reports come out this morning that the producers of The Apprentice have hours of tape of him saying the N-word and saying other things about other women, and you wonder, okay, well, are we just at the beginning of this over the next 25 days?
More. Okay, well, let's talk about the media for a minute, because this is interesting, and the role of the media and the rise and now maybe the fall of Donald Trump is pretty interesting. I love that this blow was delivered by a print, old-fashioned media. This was NBC footage. NBC did have it and was planning to run it, but they got locked up in, you know, getting lawyers consulting about what trouble they would be in for running.
Why their morning man was a part of it? Yes.
Exactly. Why the Morning Man was part of it. And then meanwhile, the Washington Post comes out with it, and it took off across every media that exists right now, which was interesting. And it will be the subject in, I can tell you, journalism ethics class for some time because of the words used. Do you help Trump if you buffer, if you put little stars in the bad words or don't use them at all or use euphemisms? Yeah. The New York Times, for example, has the F word for the first time ever on its front page. It felt that the language was so integral to the horribleness of the story.
It was.
I just wanted to say, in response to what Rosemary is saying, of course, it is newspapers. And one of the things we here at WAMC understand because you can get fined up to $350,000 mm-hmm. for every transgression. That's just wrong. That should be our decision. That should not be the decision. In other words, why is the New York Times, why is freedom of the press extend to the New York Times and the Washington Post, but not to
well,
us?
Well, I also think there's an argument to be made. I agree with you entirely, but yeah. I do wonder whether, you know, if you were to, now, are we gonna chance it? No. But if you took it to the mat and said, look, we're a news organization and we're reporting the words of a presidential candidate.
Correct.
Who yeah. is in a major campaign, and this is what he said, right. do we not have the obligation to report?
That would be fine until, of course, Donald Trump gets elected president.
Well,
right.
And
then it would be
libel. That's a very good point.
In the same way he will have Hillary Clinton arrested, he'll have us arrested,
right.
too.
Here's one more point on the media, very important. This has increased the view of the base, which, remember, we need to deal with that even after Hillary is president, who believe that we have ganged up, we mm-hmm. the media have ganged up to make sure that she is elected and he is not. And they point to the timing of this revelation. And I do wonder, how come none of us thought to look in those archives before now? Why didn't NBC look at this during the primaries?
This is about derailing a candidacy. Wait.
Look, Rosemary, I think that the critics may have a point.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is that, but I put a more favorable slant on it.
Right,
in other words, I'll tell you, I think the fact that, you know, the New York Times has decided Donald Trump has clearly decided will not be president of the United States.
Yeah.
The Washington Post has clearly decided, and whatever we have to do, we are going to do to make sure that doesn't happen. There is no question that the kind of objectivity we used to see in presidential campaigns is no longer present.
I agree.
Now, I'm not...
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
From
is
my
it brave, which they think, or is it really
let's
piling
go back
on?
To the but you 19- talk about the- let's go back to the 1930s and ask the question if, you know, if the press had had the cojones that they should
have,
would Hitler ever gotten that far?
Well, that's this, the press the- argument, but what about the other side saying that's not your role?
Well, it depends what they think their role is.
Their role is to report the news, and this is news.
I don't know. The Sulzbergers,
you know.
The Sulzbergers get into that room, and their editors
but,
discuss,
but again,
and
let's,
they say, this guy is not going to be president.
Sure, and so thank God somebody is saying this guy's not
going to
be president.
I happen to believe
that.
That's
advocacy, though. That's not news.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that Fox News has been playing this game for 20 years, building up a right-wing base in this country, unfettered, no, not being answered because everybody feels like their hands are tied in the journalistic community because, well, that's
so
not
Fox
the right
has
thing
won,
to do.
Libby. Now we're both doing it.
Well,
the,
but
the
that's
liberal,
just
the
reality
left and
of
the right.
This, that's, but that's reality now.
But is
no,
there anything on that,
now
is there anything on that tape that was released that surprised anybody?
Nope.
Okay, so when you say timing, I mean, I
why
was...
Why didn't they look earlier?
Okay, they did. I mean, they were, like, CNN was releasing tapes of the Howard Stern Show. Those tapes have been on YouTube since the beginning of the campaign.
The one of him saying, it must have been a nice sight, you being on your knees, that he actually said and on The Apprentice, has been around for a really long time. This, I mean... You know,
I mean, then,
from a,
then it
from
becomes
a campaign,
the hot thing.
Okay.
But from a campaign point of view, you know, this would derail. Would this have derailed him during the Republican primaries? I don't think so.
I do not. And here's think why so. This is so different.
I'm with you, Libby. I think it would not with that base.
I don't
base.
Think
it
not
would,
with that yeah. base. They're cheering. They
no,
are cheering.
I think that it would have been. It should have been released earlier. I don't know why. Is it lack of initiative that no one thought? No one at NBC said, let's go look at Hollywood.
Let's assume Hollywood stuff. Let's assume, Rosemary, that the Clinton people have a timetable. Now, you know, you don't use your big ammunition in the beginning.
Right.
You wait.
You're talking about Clinton. I'm talking about the media, Alan. You do the news when it's news.
Yeah,
but
you're saying you don't want them to be advocates. If they went out and found this stuff and put it out there, it's an advocacy action.
Should have been doing it about Hillary. I also have said, why didn't we see the notes or drafts of the Goldman Sachs speeches before
and
now? Why did it take the Russians to get that into
if
our
any
media,
of that's real.
Which it is.
I
thank
and,
you, Mr.
And,
Trump.
And,
I think you're wrong.
And let's also think about the other issues like the first time we have ever heard in a presidential debate putting your opponent in jail.
Yes.
That was, I felt like I was in Uganda, where routinely President Museveni has elections, and then the person who runs against him ends up in jail.
Or
that's
dead.
What I felt like. No, well, he hasn't killed him yet, but
Venezuela, Taiwan. I mean, this
yeah, I mean,
all
be
places.
Clear about what he said. I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor, which is usually to take the politics out of a prosecution.
Right.
I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor, and you will be in jail. Holy cow!
Yeah.
And he's stalking and glowering while he did it. Oh,
and he did, and he, you know,
terrifying.
It was like watching what the Germans did to the Jews all over again in a very real way, in terms of the propaganda, repeating the lies, you know, saying, oh, I'm good for women. You know, this is good for the Jews. We're going to send you to a nice place. This is really good for the Jews. Just believe us.
Garrett Kasparov, who, you know, the chess champion, is now head of the Human Rights Foundation, has tweeted, I just love this. Trump's President Day 1 checklist. 1, jail opponent. 2, media crackdown. 3, support Assad. Coincidentally, that was also Putin's checklist.
Yeah.
Pretty clever.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Let's take a break. We come back. We have a lot of letters. We'll get to those. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Storm King Art Center, a 500-acre sculpture park in the heart of the Hudson Valley, now open Wednesday through Sunday and October Mondays. StormKing.org for full hours and information. Spate Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls, more than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward. DLSPECHT.com. Manchester Designer Outlets, showcasing designer stores with Marimekko Outlet, Yves, Delmore, TSE Factory Store, Polo, Ralph Lauren, Loft, and more in historic Manchester, Vermont. ManchesterDesignerOutlets.com for details. And from Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. AlarmsofBerkshireCounty.com.
All right, we have a lot of letters, and we're going to get to those right now, and that'll bring us up to our news break at the top of the hour, and here we go.
Okay, good morning, panel. Dr. Allen makes a very salient point about the press. They have proved bias and can no longer be trusted. That's not what I was saying, folks. The press has given itself the kiss of death as far as the confidence in the general public goes. Sure, Fox knows shocking bias started it. Now the New York Times has finished it. I don't agree with that, but just as long as you're quoting me. And then Gene said, I clearly heard
right.
during this debate a repeated sound from Trump that I would call sniffling. Why was it not mentioned this time?
It was mentioned.
It was
mm-hmm.
mentioned.
It
last
was
time,
mentioned.
And a lot of people have talked about it. All right. The Marist poll just sent us something, and it said, in the multi-field contest for president, only 3 points separate Democrat Hillary Clinton, 45%, and the Republican Donald Trump, 42% among likely voters in Florida, including those undecided yet leaning towards a candidate. In Pennsylvania, Clinton, 49%, is ahead of Trump, 37%, by double digits. In Florida and Pennsylvania, Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, Green Party candidate, each received the single digit for support. So it's the NBC News, Wall Street Journal, Marist poll, which we're supposed to talk about every time we give one of those things. I just thought that was a little information.
Yep.
Mark says, anybody notice Trump's heavy breathing? No, I'm not going to read that. Waiting for his. Okay, well, I'm not going to.
One thing we didn't mention was the moderators. I thought they were the best. They were. They asked hard questions. They
kept
it. And
a great team for working. I mean, great working together for two different political organizations, and obviously.
Two different media organizations.
Well, two different media organizations, and also, I would argue, two different political or two different journalistic ideologies.
Absolutely.
However, I thought they worked together beautifully.
Great questions. There was the right amount of fact checking and not. And of course, they became the focus of Trump at one point. He said, "Oh, this is like 3-1." God, he's like a little kid on a schoolyard.
I mean, that's the other thing, you know, talking about the media. He, again,
which
is,
CNN immediately debunked at the end of the debate by saying he had a minute more than she did.
But, I mean, he was constantly saying, "You guys are being mean to me. Yeah. You're being unfair.
Three against one.
Right. You're right. You're letting her speak longer than me."
Hillary's decision to engage in a series of speeches to financial institutions after leaving the office of Secretary of State, says Patrick, can only be described as a gigantic mistake. The fees from these speeches are basically handouts, as she has little or no background in finance. She did succeed, however, in making a number of politically embarrassing statements, and that's from Patrick. I had a big fight with a guy at the Rosh Hashanah services who came up to me.
And you had a fight at Rosh Hashanah services?
Yeah,
I thought it was... That's allowed? With Jews?
Sure. I mean, it is what it is. We're Jews. We fight.
I thought it was inappropriate, and I told him so. And I told him to get out of my face. However, he said, name one thing that Hillary Clinton has done. One thing.
That's an old talking point.
Yeah. And, you know... Here's one. I mean, I would not have taken the money from the bankers if I knew I was going to be running for president, you know, of the United States, and then refused to put out, especially when she's after Trump's tax returns, what I said. I think it was very embarrassing for her.
I think she didn't put it out because Bernie would have killed her with it.
Trump
has done nothing with it because he's got his own problems.
I mean,
right
for him
now.
To, you know, go after her about Wall Street when he's in their pockets.
Exactly. I mean, when he is them.
Right. He is them. It doesn't make sense.
And Anthony makes the point at the end of his letter. So by stating that Trump contradicted his own Hillary Clinton stamina question regarding her ability to hold the office of President of the United States of America when he said her ability to stay with it. And the last time, he was all about how she had no ability and imitated her falling when she was getting into the van or whatever. Okay, so... and the exquisite irony, says Rick, that Trump has destroyed his brand is completely spoiled by the abuse of all the women suffered at his hands.
Oh, his financially, he's taking major hits. His brand's worldwide.
Will you ever stay at any Trump institution?
I wouldn't have before, though.
Well, right.
No, me neither.
Go ahead.
Right. Jay says, you failed to mention the elephant in the room. He admitted he paid no taxes. Then they both confused the issue with interest forward taxes. Wish I could use my capital losses to offset my taxable income.
They didn't both confuse it. He said, oh, I'd do away with that. And then there was a fact check saying, no, that's not anything he really uses. It's real estate guys get different breaks.
Ronald says Hillary did exactly the right thing. Hillary's job last night was to consistently demonstrate the contrast between herself and Donald Trump. That is, she is calm, rational, and knowledgeable, and dare I say it, presidential, as opposed to Trump, who is none of those things. And that is what she did, minute after excruciating minute. I also love the way she consistently, there is that word again, reacted to his bombast just the way a put-upon adult will react to a petulant, irritating child. And Emily says, of the Fraternal Order of Police, how can they continue to endorse Trump?
Yeah.
And by the way, what was interesting is he would talk about the people who endorsed him. She would not. She didn't, did she?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
And she's had an awful lot of very impressive people.
And I kept thinking they
her.
Endorsed you before that tape came out, dear.
Yeah, and also the whole ICE endorsement from...
Yeah.
It was the executive committee. It wasn't the entire...
It wasn't the union.
Yeah, it wasn't the members. Yeah.
You know, one other thing about media, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of this as you read things. Chuck Todd, earlier, before the debate, had Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
And I am not a fan of Chuck Todd. I've actually found him irritatingly anti-Hillary up to now. But he's got Giuliani on, and he says to him, but wait a minute now. You're yelling at Hillary because she said there's a private view and a public view, and yet you're defending the private view that we got of Trump. her private view is the real thing, but his is not. It's just a devastating
place. I think he's
completely logical.
And it stopped him.
Yeah.
It
Giuliani, who always can talk, just
deer
stumbled.
In the headlights. Blech. He didn't know.
Yeah, it was a wonderful question.
It was a good question.
Now that, Sarah Palin, was a gotcha question, not what newspaper do you read.
Dr. Tom M. says, debate. I have been an OB-GYN for 40 years. Trump's lurking and body language behind Hillary was very threatening.
Yes.
I certainly thought so.
No, he was a stalker.
That was a good letter.
I thought, and we said that we were talking about this earlier in our pre-show discussion, which was, I thought one of the disadvantages, and I do like it, of having the split screen of seeing both candidates, but I think one of the disadvantages to that was that in many cases when he was stalking her and behind her, you couldn't quite see it. And there were times where they went away from it so that you could, but it was difficult.
I, by the way, thought exactly the opposite, and maybe this is just my paranoia, but I thought that when he was talking, there were more single shots than when she was talking, when they would show him. So somebody should add, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Somebody ought to look into that one.
Yeah.
I was thinking Rick Lazio all over again. And mostly
Trump,
you know.
I tweeted that last night. What's Rick Lazio thinking of this right now?
For all of you who have no idea what that reference was to, go ahead, Rose.
The Senate debate.
Well, when she ran for New York Senate, her opponent, Rick Lazio, came to her, left his bias, and came over to hers and said, sign this right now. And he entered her space. It was very threatening, and a moment in debate history that you hate. Now, last night, he actually was behind her because of the setup. She moved over to talk directly to the person.
Yes, but it was his side of the
correct
the stage, so he saw it as a threat.
Yeah. Well, she actually she was the one who moved into his territory, and he looms above her because he's just a big guy, and she's a much smaller woman. It was the visuals, as they say, were quite negative.
But also him walking around with the scowl on his face and just the complete negativity of his persona. You know, and he was predatory. There's no two ways about it.
Alan.
Okay. Tony the Beekeeper says, do you think Pence will drop out? If governments issued instruments instead of weapons, we could achieve world peace one song at a time. Tony P. Okay.
Deification of Pence. If he drops out, it will be to bring pressure on Trump to voluntarily get off the ticket, which they need to do. And then he becomes a presidential candidate. He's not doing it out of any moral principle.
And also, he was the first person last night, even though Pence was totally thrown under the bus.
I disagree with Pence on Syria. We haven't talked. Yeah,
we don't talk to each other.
And Kevin says, and neither candidate should be president of the United States. These two are the best we can do. A sad day for America. Hear that a lot?
What can I tell you?
Boy, I sure don't.
This is what we have.
Hi, guys, says Carol, our very wonderful volunteer, Nurse Carol. I have been so wrapped up in the program today, I forgot to write. It disturbs me that Trump has no idea, in capital letters, that his behavior towards women is a crime. Love you all.
Well, he has no idea about foreign policy, too. At one point, he was saying that Russia was a new nuclear power, and it was like, what? What are you talking about? And then Aleppo, that we should work with the Russians in Syria. He doesn't seem to understand that the Syrians and the Russians are bombing the rebels. They're not fighting ISIS.
Well, actually, he did.
10 seconds.
He did say that it was not that we don't know who these people are. That the Russians almost in favor of Russia.
No, we do know.
Let's take a break.
We do know.
We'll be back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up our panel this morning. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We've been talking about a lot. We've got a ton of letters. I think we should continue with the letters and continue our discussion because, as we mentioned at the beginning, there's so many facets to this and there's so many different things to discuss. And we're getting into a lot in our letters and things that we think of as we go along the way. So.
Paul says, there's no doubt that bigotry and racism is alive and thriving in our country. I believe this was allowed out of suppression by Mitch McConnell's commands the day after the 2008 election. I fear the floodgates that could be opened by Donald Trump's deportment. Cliff says, Soldier Khan, as repulsive as the orange menace is, Once in a while, he says something that rings true. That's why some people think he tells it like it is. Example, if Hillary and the rest of Congress had not given GW the authorization to invade Iraq, maybe the Khan family would not be mourning the sun. He'll say the nerve to call out GW and his cohorts for starting the war in a line. Cliff. But I have to say that there is grave doubt that Trump was against sending those troops in. Mm-hmm. In fact, nobody could find any evidence of it. So this may be what we call post hoc. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Debate comments. I just wanted to say thanks to the entire panel for your coverage of this election. I always appreciate the multiple viewpoints you offer your listeners. In regards to the debate last night, we had to send the kids out of the room so my wife and I could watch the debate. What a sad day when we can't educate our children about this process.
Can I just jump in?
Sure.
Did anybody think that was, and this is to your point earlier, Alan, that first question? The first question asked at the debate regarding kids and regarding watching the debate and the language that was coming out of it, wasn't that Hillary Clinton's chance to really go after that was passed up?
Mm.
The first question. I mean, that was handed on a silver platter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was totally for her, and she.
Well, see that.
She didn't want to take the first shot.
Well, no. I think it supports my idea that she didn't want him out of there. She wanted him to stay in.
They don't want him to.
And she didn't
want to
wipe out the floor with him. We got a lot of letters about if Trump would drop out, would Pence automatically rise to the top? No. The answer to that is no.
Right.
He would not.
And they would not be able to get him elected either. It's too short of a time.
I'm not sure. Okay.
Well, especially they were saying that the plan, and I don't know how true this is, it was all rumor, but that the Republican plan was to have
Ryan.
That it would be Ben Carson running with Mike Pence. I mean, I can't imagine that to be a winning ticket, but okay.
But just when you think the election could get no more weird, that might do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carson in the race, that could do it.
That could do it.
Yep. Leslie says, after the debate, Hillary engaged with the audience for several minutes, talking and posing for pictures. Trump immediately rushed for the security of his family, only went back and talked to people when he saw what Hillary was doing. You have something, Joe, on that?
Well, I think that's kind of unfair, but I mean, he was...
He did that in the first debate, too. He's not comfortable one-on-one.
Walk around and took pictures with the people, which I thought was interesting, because they wouldn't let them have their camera, but they were giving them disposable cameras.
Yeah. That was weird. Everyone has
they wouldn't let them have their phones on, which is fine, but then they were giving them cameras, so I figured that was... that's all right.
Okay. John writes, I find it interesting that one of the things Hillary explicitly supported in her speeches was having a public position versus a private position, that you firewall from the public. And now Trump's personal private life is blowing up his political life because he did not maintain that firewall. I'm sure I've heard Alan say that no one wants to see the sausage made, but a lot of people, especially the Bernie bloc, disagree and want politicians who tear down that wall. Did anyone notice, says Matt, that Trump sat on the higher seat in the debate stage while Clinton was left with the lower seat?
It was her choice. That was from both the first debate and this debate, because she is a shorter woman. Because she was just shorter, the concern was is that your feet are 8 feet off the ground if you stand on the larger stool.
Right. Sure. It would be like you and me sitting next to each other.
Right. It was her choice, and it was a demand from the campaign to the debate commission, which
that
they
makes
allowed.
Sense.
Yeah, she
absolutely
wanted her feet on the ground.
And
I
it's the same.
The
podium in the first debate was lower.
Yeah.
It's the optics.
I probably shouldn't read this one, but Teresa says, remember that part in the debate where Trump said that Muslims have to report suspicious stuff? And then Teresa says, I'm a Muslim, and I would like to report a crazy man threatening a woman on a stage.
That was one of the best tweets of the night.
That's great. Right.
But, you know, that was so reminiscent of, you know, the Jews should report on each other.
Yeah.
It was very scary.
Charles says, I hope Trump does not drop off the ticket. If he were to do so and Pence steps in as the presidential nominee, I think it would galvanize the right and possibly give them what they need to win the election. Right now, the Democrats are in the strongest position they can be in. And by the way, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I don't know what Pence would do. He got very high marks in his debate. Rosemary has made the point again and again that his positions are antediluvian or whatever.
They're horrible.
And
he'd jail women for having abortions.
Yeah, he would.
Okay, my take.
He thinks climate change is a hoax, by the way.
And this is the man who signed the bill letting you discriminate against gay people based on your religious beliefs.
Yeah, charming man.
Sean says, my takeaway from last night is it's the Russians' fault that Sanders didn't get the Democratic nomination. And Kenny says, our old friend Ken, to correct, that's what you think, Ken, one of your panelists, it wasn't Chuck Todd, but Chris Matthews, who last night interviewed former New York City Mayor Giuliani on MSNBC. Now, there was a big point.
That's incorrect. Everyone talked to Giuliani,
exactly.
But it was
point.
Chuck Todd's interview in the morning before the debate.
For Meet the Press.
Yeah. It definitely was Chuck Todd who asked that question.
And they said that, I guess Christie had to be with... There were people who couldn't be on because they were with their candidate, and that Giuliani did the honors.
Well, Kellyanne and Chris Christie both pulled out.
Yeah, they both pulled out.
It was Kellyanne. I'm sorry. Right. That's right. Exactly right. Why would she do when she's on the stage with Putin? That is ridiculous. Is that a quote from the thing? I suppose it's supposed to read, what will she do when she gets on the stage with Putin? That is ridiculous.
Why would they be on a stage together?
I think the world stage.
I'm missing the attempt. Well, she's been on the world stage.
I think you're giving that too much credit. But okay,
fine. Sorry.
Campaign time limit, says Mark. Someone on today's panel mentioned election tension has been going on since 2013. Electioneering takes way too long. Other countries elect leaders in much shorter time. What does the panel think about somehow limiting the length of campaigns? I suggest no electioneering until January 1st of the election year. Does it take a law? Would lawmakers pass such a law? No, 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 and no.
No, but what we really need is public financing. Get the money.
We need it, whether you can have it or not. Catherine says, I was sickened through most of the debate, but when Trump said if he had been president, Khan would be alive, I was whatever.
I think her point being that she
of course,
went away.
I know. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, was there an actual point there because she voted for the war, but I.
John says, I agree with Alan is correct. I like this one. What Rosemary said is about this race basically being over is dangerous. Within the range of your station's reach in New Hampshire as a swing state in a presidential race, and a close Senate race could determine the balance of power in the Senate. Turnout is going to be important. Thanks from John. Mm-hmm. Hillary, says Daniel, is not dwelling on the Trump tape. It was great strategy. The debates are the venue to openly discuss and debate the issues and policies, not the sordid data of details of private lives. Those discussions would have lowered her Trump's level and are best left to her surrogates and the press to expose. Michael says, has anyone heard of a 13-year-old who has filed criminal rape charges from 15 years ago against Trump at the end
she
of September?
She was there last night. Oh, Trump.
The 13-year-old.
You can read about it, says Michael. We have no idea whether it's true.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been all over the internet, but no legit press has reported it.
Now somebody in the UK, I saw it this morning, a media outlet in the UK, but who knows how.
Yeah, I think it's all baloney. Just like the woman who's upset that Hillary defended her accuser, sort of that's the rule of law.
Right.
Did anyone else find the video of the debate annoying? Hillary was often only half in the picture while they kept following Trump all over the place.
I think they were trying to keep him out of the shot, which was difficult, so they kept on going
and
in
you could
close.
See his hand behind
yeah.
him.
Yeah, then he'd move, but whatever.
Dear panel, Trump continues to reveal himself as a mean, ignorant, selfish, crude bigot. But he stepped into a new realm of dangerousness when he suggested he, quote, instruct his AG to investigate Hillary. He put her in jail. Really? We're no longer a nation of law? Jail your opposition? Well, we've talked about that. And Joe, we wanted to spend a few minutes, if we could, I beg you, to talk to us about the fund drive.
That's right.
And lockbox. We're getting close. We're a little ahead of where we were the last time, but I'm really worried. I am.
We have a $10,000 challenge from Jane Kane that says we will get the $10,000 if we make it to $400,000 collected in the lockbox by the start of the fund drive, which is a week from today.
And we have a lot of money to make, but that's the bad news. And you know, if somebody says, well, let somebody else do it, then we won't make it.
So over the weekend, we went over the $300,000 mark, so $303,628. $3.79. So that does mean that we need $97,000 to make our goal, and by all accounts, that's still a lot of money.
Look, folks, there's only one reason to do this, and that's because you're listening to this show, you know what it means to you, you know what the station means to you. We cannot do it without you. And we're just begging not for the money, but for the recognition of what it takes to run this thing. If everybody just does a little, we're okay. It's that simple.
Also, if you are interested in going to the Capital Steps, which is $125 premium as part of this, we only have 30 pairs of tickets left.
Yeah.
So if you want to go, now is the time, and then we're done.
Can I just say something about that? It's a wonderful thing that we're doing with the Capital Steps, but it really isn't what this is about. This is just about getting enough money to run the station. And we know that you all understand that. And we cannot do it without you. It's that simple.
WAMC.org. You can also call 1-800-323-9262, and someone will take your call. But WAMC.org, everything is online, and we would love to hear from you. Again, $400,000 is the goal.
And
by Monday. And we have a $10,000 challenge on the table.
And Laurel, I'm so sorry, very famous Laurel. Alan, don't underestimate the effect message of Trump's physical behavior on the debate stage last night. He was aggressive and threatening in a way that makes it clear that it was not merely locker room talk. The issue is not over because he is still that guy. Love the panel, one and all. Mateo says, Rosemary, can I quote you on my Facebook page?
You can.
Yeah. And
go for it.
And tagger. And Tracy says, the most anticipated roundtable ever. President Obama would never have been president if he had said anything like this. Locker room banter is exactly the kind of talk that creates the atmosphere that encourages young men to objectify and abuse women. And Matt says, I think this might be the first step in Hillary's final push for herself. There have been enough attacks on Trump by the media, and our campaign the last 3 weeks are making a positive case for Hillary. And Linda says, Donald Trump was, as usual, an incoherent hot mess, yet all the pundits say he did well. Give me a break. By the way, isn't Melania held responsible for her husband's sexual misdeeds?
Sure, just like Hillary is.
Yeah, I think that was her point. Okay, Wayne says, step down, Donald Trump. End the nonsense. Enter Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. Hillary's debate performance. I think Hillary did what was needed and stayed with the issues of being president. She presented herself as a calm, intelligent adult in the room and didn't let herself plunge into smutty wrangling. I think this is the best way to reach the undecided. And James says, I am surprised by the lack of comment last night by one of the very disturbing things Trump has said in the campaign, his blind support during the debate of Putin and Assad. Mm-hmm. It highlighted Trump's suspected connections to Russia, did massive financial bailouts from Putin, connected Russian oligarchs and a possible subsequent blackmail bribery lead to his backing America's enemies. Well, let me say he did answer that. He said no. He said, I don't know Putin.
Right.
And I haven't gotten any money, but I'm not going to release my tax returns.
Right. But after he's been on film saying, yes, I do know him and we have a relationship.
Dinah says, Dear Rosemary, Alan and all, kudos to all of you for the candid discussion of the debate last night. But like the candidates last night, can Roundtable move on from the start about Trump's views of women to another aspect of it? Well, I think we did, and that was an early
All right. Letter. We are out of time, but thank you very much. We'll be back
after this.